song said that only He can. Graves in the gardens. Listen, church, if you can't get excited about what God can do from you, for you, that ought to get you excited. And that ought to make you happy. And if you can't get excited about that, if I don't light you on fire, then your wood's wet. Amen? So this morning, take your Bibles, and if you'll go ahead and get to our scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to share something with you. I've said this every Sunday that I've been with you. I want to give you some encouragement. And so this morning, before we get to scripture, I'm going to take a little bit of a lengthy introduction this morning. And I just want to talk to you a little bit as you move forward as a church, as I did last Sunday. Last Sunday when we left, we talked about looking at some doctrine today. And a lot of people get really nervous, get uneasy when the word doctrine or theology comes up. And so you need to understand that you shouldn't be scared of that. You shouldn't get a little bit uptight about that. Because you see, theology, if you just look at the word, the word is theos and then ology. So the study of God. You, as a group, you ought to be excited to study about God. So theology should not be an issue to you. The word doctrine just simply means the teaching. What do we teach? What do we teach about Scripture? What do we teach about Jesus? What do we teach about salvation? What do we teach about sin? What do we teach in all of these categories? And it's important that you have sound doctrine. So let's rephrase that. It's important that you have sound teaching on all of those things. Now, here's where the issue comes with a lot of churches and a lot of church members. And so when I share personal stories with you or personal examples, it's not to say, hey, look at me. That's not it. I share because I feel like that you could possibly relate to my personal experiences, okay? So I'm going to share just a brief testimony with you about the importance of doctrine. When I was 21 years old, my daughter was on the way. And we were told during the pregnancy that she was going to have some birth defects, some difficulties. And so my dad and my mom had traveled to Nova Scotia. And they were gone for a very long period of time. And I was left to battle this news on my own. I really didn't know how to handle this. So when they returned from their vacation, I drove down to Pine Bluff. At the time, I was living in Valonia. Drove down to Pine Bluff. And I just shared with my parents the fear that I had over this news. And I remember as I drove back to Valonia, and I will tell you the exact moment. I'll tell you the exact place. I had just crossed over the river. And I was at the JFK exit. And I said this to the Lord, and I know that some of you have probably said this. I made a bargain with God. Any of y'all ever been there? And here's what I said. Lord, if you will get me out of this, show me a way out, I will serve you. So I had been in church. You guys all know this. I've shared this with you before. My grandfather and all of his brothers are preachers. My dad's a preacher. I raised in church, but when I got to be 18 years old, I was no longer in dad's house. I didn't have to go to church. I didn't go to church. I wasn't obligated. We talked about that last week. I wasn't obligated to go to church. Now that child number one was on the way, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just mean as a snake. And she's paying for that because yesterday I had my 6-year-old grandson, and I'm going to tell you something. Woo-wee, she's paying for that. So I hope she gets to see this at some point on Facebook today. She won't deny that. She told me Friday night, she said, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I lived that for many years. But at that point, when I went back down to see my dad pulled me aside, and I'm going to tell you, this is one of the greatest pieces of advice my dad took, because we were struggling with where to go to church. I wasn't sure that I wanted to be Baptist. Just because that my grandfather was a Baptist preacher and my dad was Baptist, I wasn't sure that that's where I wanted to go. And I'm going to tell you exactly what my dad said. He said, you need to decide what you believe, why you believe it, and that's where you need to go to church. My dad did not encourage me to be a Baptist. My dad didn't encourage me to do what he did. He said, son, he said, the answer is right here. And he said, you must find it. Now listen, church, here's what I want to say to you before we ever get to the message today. The answer is right here. And if you wait for someone to come here and put their name on your board outside, on your marquee, and you wait on them to come here and to stand here and to tell you what this says, then you are already wrong. It is your responsibility to have good doctrine. It is your responsibility to know what this book says about salvation. That's preeminent. The number one thing that you should know without any question whatsoever is what does the Bible say about salvation? That's number one. You see, all the other things we can discuss later. We can discuss other doctrines of Scripture. We can discuss speaking in tongues. We can discuss anointing with oil. We can discuss the end times. We can discuss the rapture. We can discuss all of those things. But I'm going to tell you something, church. Y'all listen and say, I am. All those things don't matter if you're not saved. Number one issue is what does Scripture have to say about salvation? So we can discuss other doctrines some other time. That's not today. But you see, I begin to read. I begin to ask questions. I begin to discover, well, what do I believe? Why do I believe it? And guess what? Here I am preaching in the Southern Baptist Church. I had an open door for my father. Choose another denomination. Choose another church. An open door. But when it was all said and done, I am where I am not because of my daddy. I am where I am not because of my papa. I am where I am because I have personal convictions about reading God's Word. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and you got to understand. See, all this is free for the price of admission this morning. Y'all didn't know y'all going to get a bonus, amen? Ain't even got to the message yet. I'll get there. Y'all just hang with me. Here's where I'm going to ask you this morning, and this is just a moment of seriousness, a moment of evaluation. Why are you here? Some are going to say, well, it's all I've ever known. Why are you here? Because that's where I was told to go. Well, dear friend, this morning you're going to have a challenge because we're going to talk about the doctrine of security this morning. And I hope that at the end of all of this, that what you see this morning is a glorious picture, not because that it's Southern Baptist. I'm going to tell you something. Southern Baptist doctrine will not get you into heaven. Hard preaching from some middle-aged fat man will not get you to heaven. Only, listen to me, church, only, say only, the blood of Christ. That's it. So my opinion don't matter to you. Southern Baptist doctrine don't matter to you. And you say, well, you're standing in the Southern Baptist Church and you say it don't matter. I'm telling you that it don't matter. What you need to get a hold of is what does Jesus say about salvation, not what Southern Baptists say about salvation. Because if you don't get what Jesus said, you got it wrong. And I'm going to tell you something else. Southern Baptists are not going to be the only ones in heaven. They're not. I'm telling you the truth. There's going to be Catholics in heaven. There is. There's going to be Church of Christ in heaven. There's going to be Assembly of God. There's going to be Pentecostals in heaven. But listen, church, you and I can discuss And you and I can disagree on all of these other doctrines, but there are one thing that we will not disagree on, and there's one thing that will not be compromised on, and that is that there is only one way to heaven. There's only one way of eternal life. There's only one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus. Period. Not up for discussion. My grandfather used to say all the time, he said, "I don't care if you think I'm wrong. I'm not wrong, and I'm going to be dogmatic on this one thing." And church, I will not be moved on preaching that Jesus is the only way. Not be moved. So this morning, all of that was free for the price of admission. Now I'm going to get to the message. So if you'll take your copy of God's Word and stand with me as we honor its reading, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14, we're going to see the text for today's message. Chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in all of the things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." Father, this morning, will you take these words and will you open our hearts? Father, that the things that may be said here today will not fall on hardened ground but fertile soil. And that, God, that we may reply and we may respond accordingly so that your name will be glorified in this church. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So church, this morning, as we look to the book of Ephesians, I want to give you an overview of the entire book. And I know some of you are going to gasp for air and say, "Oh, he's going to preach till 1 o'clock. I'm not. Here's what I want you to understand. There are six great chapters in the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1 through chapter 3 is nothing but pure doctrine, pure teaching on salvation. Paul goes into great detail into the doctrine of salvation. Now, beginning in chapters 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, Paul gives us an example of what the salvation that he taught about in the first three chapters. He gives us an example, a living example of such a salvation. Now, you'll notice that in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he talks about the family. Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the bride, and so goes the husband and the wife and the children. He gives us a very practical example of this salvation. So today, we're not looking at the example of salvation. We're going to look at the doctrine of salvation that Paul introduces in chapter 1. And as we begin to understand this, in the first two verses, Paul gives us a greeting, if you will, and then he jumps right into the doctrine of salvation. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So the very first point that I want you to write, I see some of you making notes. I love to see notebooks. I love to see you writing in your Bibles. If you have a highlighter, if you write, I would challenge you this morning to write this point. Number one, the ground for security. The grounds that you and I are secure. Now follow along with me, if you will, for just a second. Go back to verse 3. And let's just work through these 12 verses that I read this morning. Let's look back at verse 3. And he said that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in what, church? In whom? In Christ. He said it again there in verse 4, just as he chose us in him. We see it again at the end of the verse. We are before blame. It says in him, or in him we have love. Look at, will, if you will, in verse 7. In him we have redemption. The grounds for your security, are you listening and say yes? The grounds for your security is in Christ. Now listen, I'm not going to go back through all of it because of the amount of time that I'm allotted here today. But 10 times in verse 3 through verse 14, Paul references in Christ. In Christ is the preeminent doctrine. You see, this morning, East End, you need to be found in Christ. You don't need to be found in Southern Baptist. You don't need to be found in anyone else. You need to be found in Christ. Now, let me give you an example. This was a point of division in the Corinthian church. In the Corinthian church, they said, well, I am of Apollos. I am of Priscilla and Aquila. I am of Paul's doctrine. And Paul said, hey, listen, you don't need to be of me. You don't need to be in me. You need to be found in Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. There's pastors going to come and go from this fellowship. And you're going to really like some of them, and you're not going to like some of the others. That's just fact. We're human. But I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor, whoever that it may be, is not enough to save your soul. So don't get caught up in the preacher. Don't get caught up in the pastor. Don't get caught up in anyone but Christ. And East End, I'm going to tell you something. If every single one of you here this morning are found in Christ, and the man that you called preaches in Christ, and is found in Christ, you will have a successful church. But if you find someone that preaches in politics, you find someone that preaches in social issue, if you find someone that is not, then you're going to be able to discover that they are not in Christ. And if you don't know what it means to be in Christ, then you can be misled in the wrong direction really, really fast. I'm going to give you an example. The motive of this message today. The motive of why I wanted to speak to you about doctrine. It's absolutely critical that you all have good doctrine. It's critical. Just 2 weeks ago, I had a phone call with an associational missionary. I'm not going to tell you who it was. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. But he and I had a conversation about doctrine, and that the pastor who was there for less than a year had already been asked to leave because of unsound doctrine. And you see, the people of the church didn't know any better and led them in a direction that was incorrect. And because of that, guess what happened to the church? You know what? I think the only time that you should use the word split is with a banana in front of it. Amen? But all too often, it references church life. And see, if the church would have had sound doctrine, they would have known, hey, wait a minute. These things don't sound right. These things aren't right. So I'm going to go and I'm going to read what it has to say. But instead, they waited for someone to tell them what it said, and guess what? They went the wrong direction. So you see, you have the responsibility here this morning. You have the responsibility to know what God's Word says, because if I stand here and don't tell you the truth, you will be able to discover that man's not telling me the truth. You will. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. But be honest with me, church, this morning. How many times do you wait for the preacher to tell you what the Bible says? Huh? How many times do you wait? So, I'll go in just a tad bit more detail. The issue in this church, two issues that I'll discuss. Speaking in tongues and anointing with oil. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail of the doctrine of those things in a Baptist church. But you see, here's the way that it was approached. Well, it's in the Bible, so it's okay. Is it in the Bible? Yes. Is it okay? There's an order. There's a time and a place. And if you don't know what it says, and someone stands here and says, well, it's in the Bible. Hey, listen, what did Peter do to the soldier's ear right before they captured Christ? He cut it off with a sword. It's in the Bible. Is it okay? Hey, just a few verses later, chapters later, another book, whatever, Jesus said, it is well. So, hey, Peter cut off someone's ear, and Jesus said, it is well. So, guess what? You don't like what I have to say, I'm going to cut your ear off. Is that okay? If you have sound doctrine, listen, church, you will understand that you can't just take something out of context and put it into place and make it okay. Whoever stands before you should do proper exegesis. In other words, church, you should take out, you should exit everything out of the text and see what the text has to say, and not just because that it's in the Bible that it is okay. You should have sound doctrine. And listen, church, the beginning of sound doctrine is on salvation. And what the Scripture says, 10 times in 11 verses, Paul said, sound doctrine begins in Jesus. And so we have to get this point right first. In Christ, what is it that you gain when you have sound doctrine? The ground for security is being in Christ. What do you gain as an individual? You gain righteousness. The Bible says that no one, not one individual, is righteous. I have no reason to stand before you and no ability to stand before you and preach God's Word. Only the fact that I was saved by grace when I was 7 years old, I was washed in the blood, and that put me in a position now that I can claim righteousness, because David Holcomb is a scoundrel. David Holcomb is a sinner. David Holcomb is no one that is worthy to stand and proclaim God's Word. But because I am in Christ, I can claim it. Because I am in Christ, I have the resources of Christ. I have His resources. Church, this morning, the grounds for your security is being in Christ. You get to lay claim to His righteousness. You get to lay claim to His resources. You get to lay claim to His privilege. You get to lay claim to His position. You get to lay claim to His power. I mean, the only way that you can do any of those things is to be found in Christ. So you see, first thing this morning, right out of the gate, if you're not in Christ this morning, the invitation is, will you be found in Christ when the invitation is given? The second thing that I want you to see is in verse 6. Not only the ground for security is in Christ, now I want you to see the guarantee of security, starting in verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Now listen, in verse 6 it says, by which. What in the world is He talking about? By which? By His grace.
not mine, not the church, not your denomination, but it's by His grace. We can make ourselves secure. Now, all through this, if we look down for the next 6 or 7 verses, we're going to see this. It says, follow along with me, having made known, verse 9, to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that the dispensation of the fullness of times might gather together of all things that are in Christ. There's an age. The word dispensation means an age. There is a time that He is gathering all things to Himself. Church, we are in the dispensation of the church. We're in the church age, if you will. Christ is gathering all things to Him to give you a guarantee of security. Now, the text also talks about predestination. Now listen, I could stand here for the next 2 hours and talk to you about the doctrine of predestination. So I'm going to cut this really short and I'm going to leave it there, and maybe some other time we can come back and delve into that a whole lot deeper. But here it is. I want you to understand the doctrine of predestination. Because you see, I didn't say the doctrine of selection. The doctrine of predestination doesn't mean that before the foundation of the world that God went through there and said, yes, yes, no, yes, no, yes, 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 no. That's not what happened. You can't find that anywhere in Scripture. But what you can find in Scripture on the doctrine of predestination is that before the foundation of the world, God had a plan to redeem all of humanity through the death of His only begotten Son. And what you can find in Scripture on the doctrine of predestination before the foundation of the world, that God knew every single individual from eternity past to eternity future of who would and would not accept God's grace. So don't let someone tell you it's a doctrine of selection. That's not in Scripture. Because Jesus Himself said, whosoever. So that means you, my friend. That means your neighbor. That means another country. It means another race. It means don't matter. Whosoever can be saved. Now, I want to ask you to do something with me this morning. As we talk about this guarantee of security. I can't make you secure. East End Baptist Church can't make you secure. Southern Baptist can't make you secure. Can't do it. But notice what it says in verse 13. And then I'm going to ask for some assistance here this morning. In Him, you trusted. You trust Christ? Say, I do. You heard the truth? Say, I have. You believe the truth? Say, I am. Now listen to what it says. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who did the guaranteeing? Not the preacher. Not the denomination. Christ did the sealing. Holly and Walker, will y'all come join me? I'm going to give you a visual this morning. This morning, the very first song that we sang, it talked about in the cleft, that He hides us in His promise. Y'all going to enjoy this. Doug's already getting it. Come on up here with. Come up here on this side so everybody, we can get a good visual right here. Yeah, he's bringing his Kleenex because you know Walker's going to cry. Amen. See, he's already started. You ain't started yet? How long y'all been married?
34, be 34 years in October.
Maybe
35.
35. But you, look.
I got it right. Hey. I ain't October yet.
So I've been friends with him for quite some time, and we're friends on Facebook, and I got to see their wedding. You married way up, didn't you?
I got my punt coverage.
Yeah, you outkicked your coverage.
Yep,
that's without a doubt. So you love her?
Yes, sir.
All right. So here's what I want to give you a visual this morning about the guarantee of your security. So Holly said she was a little bit nervous about joining me this morning. I said, well, Holly, I've even got you a souvenir. So I've got a gold U.S. dollar coin right here. So Holly is going to be Jesus, and Walker is going to be the Holy Spirit. All right? So here's what I want to do. This is a value. Now listen, I believe that all of you are far more valuable than this gold $1 coin. Amen? But I want to place this in Holly's hand. Did you see what she did? I didn't ask her to do that. What was the first thing she did when I put that coin in her hand? She closed it up. Why? She didn't want no one to get it. So, keep it closed. Hold your hand out here.
Okay.
Walker, take both of your hands and cover that up. Let me have the Kleenex. So here you are in Christ, sealed up by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to ask you something. Anyone out here strong enough to come and take that coin out from Walker's hand and Holly's hand? You want to try it? What would happen, Walker, if someone tried to get a hold of that?
I don't think they'd get that.
Now listen, here you are in Christ, sealed up with the Holy Spirit. And why are you sealed up with the Holy Spirit? No, don't ask. I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking for a fact. Notice what Scripture has to say. Scripture says that you are sealed up for a future inheritance. So in other words, when Christ comes back, guess what? You're sealed up, ready to be taken. Now listen, friends. The guarantee is that you are in Christ, sealed up by the Holy Spirit. That's doctrine. That's security. So don't tell me that the doctrine of Southern Baptist is wrong. Because it's not my doctrine. It's what Scripture said. I just gave you a visual of it. And friends, listen, if you are guaranteed, then you can live for Christ. But now listen, the strength of our doctrine is also the weakness of our doctrine. Because people think that because that you're in Christ and because you're sealed up, that you can live as you want to live. No friend, when you place yourself in Christ, you die. You're now His. You live according to His purpose. You live according to His will. You live according to His grace. David died in 1977 and I became Christ. I became in Him and I became sealed. So I am free to live for the Lord. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone does. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty arrogant. No, friends, the Scripture said, I am sealed for a future inheritance. Now listen, if you can't get excited about that, then maybe you need to be found in Christ. Maybe you need to be sealed up this morning. You can undo her hand. You got a death grip. You can keep that as a souvenir. Don't let him tell you that's a quarter because that's really a dollar. Are you listening? You see, doctrine is simply the teaching about salvation. The doctrine that we're discussing is the teaching of salvation. Question number one is, are you in Christ? Question number two is, are you guaranteed? I am. I'm guaranteed. So here's the third thing this morning that I want you to see. What is the goal? What is the goal of your salvation? It's found in verse 14 at the very end. He said, who is the guarantee of your inheritance? Aren't you glad that the preacher can't guarantee your inheritance? Aren't you glad the church can't guarantee your inheritance? Aren't you glad our denomination can't guarantee your inheritance? It says, you are guaranteed until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, here's the goal for all of this. To the praise of His glory. Not my glory. To His glory. You see, friends, it's real simple this morning. When you're in Christ and you're sealed, the goal is for you to praise Him. You don't have to worry about what someone else may say. You don't have to worry what someone else may do. You don't have to worry whether you're going to lose the salvation. Listen, church, one of the most miserable things that I've ever witnessed to someone, the most miserable aspects, is they're afraid they were going to lose their salvation. They were afraid to live. They were afraid that they were going to sin, and all of a sudden that God was going to snatch it away from them. How horrible would it be to have such a great salvation to live in fear that you're going to lose it? When all the while the Scripture said you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? So here's the encouragement to you this morning. Number one is to have sound doctrine. Number two is to be found in Christ. Number three, be guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. And number four, as the goal of this church this morning, listen, there is no reason, no one here cannot glorify Christ because you have been saved. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. Yes, you can. If you've been bought with the blood, you have testimony. You have an opportunity to share it. There's no reason not to. No fear. You're not going to lose it. Because you see, because of the love of Christ for David, because of the love of Christ for all of you, the greatness here is now you can share it to the glory of His name. What you do is for Christ, not for East End Baptist Church. Are you in Christ? Are you sealed? Now go glorify His name. Let's pray. I pray this morning that as we talk about doctrine, that you would be excited about what the Scripture has to say about your salvation. Maybe some of you have been a long time since you said that eternal I do, and maybe some of your excitement has faded over time. Maybe this morning through this message that you gain a new perspective of what it means to be in Christ. Church, this morning, as you move forward, may everything that you do be in Christ. May you have the great realization that you are sealed with a promise. Now go praise Him. Father, this morning, have your way in this invitation. May every person hear when we say our final amen, the last note of the song today, may everyone be found in Christ.